Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You're not going to throw me in front of a bus or anything, are you?
It's an interesting idea. I hadn't thought of that.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Dawson's Creek. Today's episode is Season 2, Episode 4, Tamara's Return. And now, here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
It is, in fact, not Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting. Sarah had to deal with some family stuff this week. So for this episode and the next two Dawson's Creek episodes, we have a wonderful guest. It's Adam Grossworth.
Ooh. Hi. I'm truly honored to be here. Thank you so much.
You were the first person that I thought of for this because I know you've been watching along with the episodes and that this would not be a very heavy lift for you to jump on. But what is your history with this show?
I was high school class of 93, so 90210 was a foundational text. Mm-hmm. And then I largely didn't watch TV during college, so I missed some stuff like my so-called life. Mm. I've caught up, don't worry. When Dawson's Creek came out, I mean, I was very into Buffy, so I was watching the CW. Or the WB, as it was. I was also a big fan of Scream and The Faculty, and still am. Those movies totally hold up. I remember being like, wait, the guy who wrote Scream is writing a teen drama? And I was really excited about it. And I watched all of it at the time, being, you know, slightly out of the target demo. Mm-hmm. I once famously said to John Ramos, I don't quit shows. I watched all 7 seasons of Dawson's Creek. And he was like, there were only 6 seasons of Dawson's Creek, but it sure felt like longer. But I do remember actually really, really loving the first couple seasons. Mm-hmm. And so I've been enjoying watching along with the podcast, maybe not this week, but...
Well, yeah, this is not a great one, but you have a good one in a couple of weeks. So yeah. Your last one on is, I will say, a banger.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Before we get into this episode, which we're notably not saying is a banger, we want to tell you some news. We recently let you know that we knew some of the older episodes of this podcast, Again With This, had been dropping off of our podcast feed because there's a max that we can have and we hit it. So with each new episode we add, one falls off of our audio boom feed, the host. But Dave figured out a workaround so that you can get every single podcast episode going all the way back to the pilot of Beverly Hills 90210. Dave, please explain.
That's right, Tara. All you have to do is come to our house and Tara will reenact the episodes you missed for you. No, we have a separate feed for the old shows, not for Dawson's Creek, but for Melrose Place, Beverly Hills 90210, and the BH 90210
yes.
show. Mm-hmm. Go to our website, hit the subscribe link, and at the bottom of that page, you can find links to each of those individual RSS feeds. And if you don't know how to add them to your podcast app, Google it.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
It's not hard.
It's not.
It's very straightforward.
Yeah. So yeah, that's againwiththispodcast.com/subscribe. And if you scroll down from where it says all the usual places to subscribe, there's a heading that says legacy show feeds. And that gives you all the information on that. Now that we've covered that, we want to tell you what's happening on our Patreon. Again with this episode 201 dropping July 26th is going to be Let's Watch Michelle Williams in The Station Agent, a wonderful summary movie, New Jersey cinema. Of course, Sarah will not be here to comment on that part, but it is. You can find it on Pluto TV with ads. When I picked it, it was on Prime Video, but I guess it dropped off in July. Sorry. But you can also just buy it at all of the usual places, and you should. It's a lovely movie. So you can get that episode and all the archives if you join us on Patreon. More information on that, including all the perks. We don't list them very often. Ad-free episodes, access to our Discord server, discounts on merch, so much more. Again, with this podcast.com/club. Adam, are you ready?
I hope so. Okay. These are big shoes to fill, Tara, but let's do it.
Let's find out. Okay, let's start with our C plot. Jen and Abby try to catch a fisherman, and I have to reset the days since a statutory rape plot line on this show. It's back down to zero. Sorry, everybody. So content warning on that. Jen is at school picking her lunch when Abby appears and waves a bunch of cash in her face and orders Jen to come shopping with her that weekend. Jen does not feel like it because she wants to spend the weekend moping in bed. Abby says this better not be about Dawson, and Jen's chastened face gives her away. Clip two.
Jen, damn it! You're such an ass! I mean, what is so great about Dawson Leary? He's just a guy with a motor mouth and a limp billy club. Turn over a rock and find yourself another guy. The whole world's crawling with him.
Abby.
When you're right, you know? She's not right about everything. She's right about this. After Jen resets what we know about her and Dawson, she pouts that she misses hanging out with the other opening credits cast members. Not that she describes them that way. And she needs a few days to nurse her wounds. Abby says that Jen has had them. Winter is over and Jen needs to come out of her cave. Is this their way of acknowledging that the timeline is all screwed up because it's supposed to be November? But fine. The next day, Abby exposits that she just spent her whole month's allowance in 20 minutes setting a new personal record. And when her parents ask where all her money went, she says she'll just tell them she got mugged like she always does. Like, Jen is like in Capeside, which seriously.
Fair.
Abby points out how much Jen's mood has improved. Isn't she glad she met Abby? And Jen says she is. Even though she left New York to quit being a bad girl, going back to her old ways feels better than loneliness and depression. Abby's happy to help Jen get back to her roots and then gasps that the biggest babe she's ever seen is sitting right behind Jen, who takes a long look. I have to think the casting notes for this part were a Michael Scheffling type because he is really hot and he does have that guy's vibe. What did you think of him?
Yeah, no, totally. And he's in the background and I thought he was an extra. And I noticed him when they really weren't trying to make us notice him, and I did not remember anything about this plot line. So Yeah, good job. Good job casting. He's sure. Cute.
Obviously, you can see him in the visual aids extensively represented. Abby calls him, according to shotgun rules. Jen hisses that he's twice Abby's age, but that just means he might be mature enough to handle Abby, who wants a real man with chest hair and body odor and illegitimate children around the country. She's like, okay, yes, and then no. I don't get the appeal of that. Jen gapes as Abby yells out to ask his name, which is Vincent. Abby introduces herself and Jen and invites Vincent to join them. They don't bite unless they're asked to. And that line should probably tip him off to the fact that they are way too young. But Apparently it doesn't. He just says he has to get to the docks. He's a fisherman in the area for a couple of months hauling swordfish. Perfect storm vibes, by the way. Abby offers to show him the local sites and volunteers her full name and phone number as Jen loses her mind. All of the shots of Jen reacting to Abby being so sassy are really cute, I thought. You can see those in the visual aids, too.
Yeah. Also, Vincent hating Abby instantly is also cute and relatable.
True. So then Jen turns around to make nervous eye contact. Vincent says he didn't catch her name. She blurts it out, and they smile at each other, and somehow the scene does not end on a shot of Abby fuming that they are obviously vibing, but I assume that is yet to come. The next day, we join Jen and Abby after they've been pacing the docks for 2 hours. And you can see in the visual aids, the absolutely insane thing that Abby has chosen to wear. It's like this diaphanous, it's like the kind of thing that a button-down blouse, but it's completely sheer. It's like what an older lady would wear over a strapless gown if she's just trying to be a little bit modest and doesn't want to go with a pashmina. But this is what Abby is wearing on what has clearly been filmed on like an August afternoon. It looks cuckoo.
It's so hot and so bright. I haven't heard about this later. I'll save it. But they're also like, I mean, I know the geography of Capeside is pointless to think about, but They're eating lunch at a restaurant, at a dockside restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And he is like, I have to get to the docks, which are right over there. And I know that there could be multiple docks, but like then they're searching. I don't know. It's supposed to be a small town. There is water in every scene of this entire episode. I don't know. I just, you shouldn't think about it. And unfortunately, I did.
Yeah, I hear you. So somehow it's taken this long for Jen to ask what they are doing as though it's not obvious. Abby is hoping to run into Vincent, and, you know, it'll seem very natural whenever they do. Jen bitches that there are 100 boats. They're never going to find him. Plus, Vincent is old enough to be Abby's father. Clip 3.
Have you ever heard of statutory rape?
Oh, shut up.
I assume that's written on an index card in the writer's room, because that seems to be the show's attitude as well.
And given the A-plot, like, of all the episodes, to have somebody say that.
Yeah, the A-plot too. Sadly, we will get to it. So when we rejoin them, Abby has somehow located Vincent and trots up to his boat while he's shirtless in the rigging or whatever. I don't know, boat talk. She is delighted that he remembers her name and says they're there to invite him out to a bar called Whitey's in Portsmouth. Jen hangs back looking a little bored and a little embarrassed. Abby is sure that Vincent will have heard of this place. Clip 4.
It's all the rage with you laborers.
Laborer? Is that my designated label?
Oh, no. Don't take it the wrong way. I love laborers. They're sexy and they know what to do with their hands.
Well, I'm gonna have to pass.
Pass? What do you mean? Why?
I'll tell you why. I'm not interested in playing some blue-collar pinup for some oversexed, condescending teeny bopper.
Excuse me?
Thanks for coming by and slumming it.
All right.
Yeah. I feel like this level of shirtlessness is off-brand for the show. Mm-hmm. I'm not mad about it. I'm just noting it.
Yeah.
I also, you know, do not share Sarah's deep Cape Cod knowledge, but I did look it up, and I'm assuming this is Portsmouth, Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. And even if Cape Side is like barely on Cape Cod, it's an hour away by car. There have to be closer bars.
Right. Isn't Rhode Island where they were supposedly ended up on the episode with Billy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It didn't make any sense then either. I'm just saying. That's fair. You know, get a map. I know we didn't have Google Maps yet, but like, it's not that hard.
Yeah. I guess Jen hasn't heard of statutory rape herself, despite what she said earlier, because clip 5.
Abby's got a particular way with words that sometimes the stuff that she says comes out wrong, but she means well. Mostly. Anyway, the only reason that we came all the way down here is because she likes you, so give her a break, would you?
It's Jen, right?
Yeah.
I have to be honest. I don't like your friend. I think she's a stuck-up phony who wouldn't know a real man from a hole in the wall, but you... You're different. I can tell. And if you'd like to, I'd be happy to take you out sometime. And do me a favor. Leave Abby at home.
Jen! Jen, come on!
Hey, Jen. Thanks for coming by.
So we're going to find out, spoiler, in the next episode that Vincent does not actually know that these are teenagers. Which I guess is why they decided to just write him with complete groomer talk. Like, you're so much more mature than your friend. It's totally like straight out of the playbook.
Yikes.
Jen sort of wanders off and, you know, has a little slap fight with a furious Abby as she goes. And at school the next day, Jen trails Abby through the hall, pretending not to know why Abby is mad at her. Again, obvious. Jen denies that she intentionally stole Vincent from Abby, who goes on to whine that she's done so much for Jen, and Abby only likes one guy, but Jen couldn't step out of the spotlight long enough to let Abby have him. Jen immediately says Abby can have him, Jen doesn't want him, which, ooh, wrong thing to say, too. It's not going to make it better. Abby stomps off. Jen spits at her not to take it out on Jen just because Abby got rejected. Abby says she didn't get rejected. That's Jen's specialty, not Abby's. So, like, which is it? Is Jen hogging all the guys, or is she getting rejected all the time? I mean, I guess it's kind of both, but it's bad writing. On to the B plot. Joey and Jack get into art while Dawson abstains. We open with Joey and Dawson at the weird ruins where Dawson and Jen kissed for the first time. They're making out on a blanket, but they're on like stone. Like, this cannot possibly become true.
Yeah, it's like a gravel beach. So weird. Like, on a lake, the water making no sense. She's in short shorts and a teeny tiny t-shirt, and it's, again, when are we, and is it a plantation? I had a lot of questions.
Joey sits up to complain that it's freezing, perhaps because she did not dress for the weather, and there are bugs. There aren't. It's November. So can't they go somewhere else? I mean, presumably she would know before he has to say it. No, they can't because their homes are not available. Joey says that as a 20th century girl, she needs music, mood lighting, and climate control. Dawson points to the moonlight, stars, and crickets. Clip six.
Dawson.
What?
You are so cheesy.
You don't like it?
Are you kidding? I find it unbearably sexy.
She rolls back on top of him. No one wanted this. I don't want to wait. I would have waited. I didn't need to see it.
They're so barfy, and I guess it's like realistic for teenagers, sort of, but I don't like it.
Well, in the sex scenes, it's really where you see the disconnect between like they talk like 40-year-olds versus they are actually teenagers, right, like having sexy moments, you know, not sex itself yet. They're trying to talk around it and, you know, give us connections between the conversations and then the actual doing of stuff. And it's just real rough. So before class the next day, Joey lets Jack know he has the day off at the ice house because Bessie lost her sitter and there's no one to open the place. And Jack offers to do it himself. Okay. They've been closing when it's still light out. So if they're not open for lunch, it's no wonder Bessie can't pay her bills. That's A. B, Jack has been working there for a week. He certainly is not qualified to do anything that Bessie or Joey would have to be there to do. Like, what do you, what? And Joey basically laughs in Jack's face, calls him Inspector Clouseau in the process of explaining why he cannot run a shift without either of them there. And Jack bitterly asks why they don't terminate him if he's such an incompetent moron, because we're supposed to know these kids are smart and verbal, so everyone on the writing staff has to just keep their thesaurus open all the time. Joey assures Jack they don't want to terminate him and changes her mind. He can open as a test run. He just shouldn't set the kitchen on fire. This does not come up again, so I guess it was fine. We never see what happens with all of this.
Is he also cooking?
Right.
Also, wasn't Bessie's boyfriend the cook at the restaurant? And
yes,
we haven't seen him all season.
No, we haven't.
Television, I get it. But like, it's weird.
Yeah, it's weird that they haven't made up a story of where he is yet.
Yeah, or even just mentioned like that he's also taking the day off. It doesn't matter. But like, it's weird that is he the only employee now?
And then we're seeing what has kept Joey from opening the ice house herself, Laura's art lecture. We might have a mega day situation because she told Jack she was going to this after school, but she is in a different outfit. She has also brought Dawson, whose reaction to the abstract expressionist art Laura's talking about is to look dubious as only he can, which you can see in the visual aids, which is maybe fair because this Jarvis, the artist, is apparently not in our reality. So don't feel bad that 3 weeks after he painted this painting we're looking at, he died of alcohol poisoning because he didn't. He's not real. That ends the class. A thoroughly satisfied Joey applauds with the rest of the class, looking at Joey to share the moment with him, but immediately seeing from his face, he has not had the same experience as she did.
I'm so sorry to say I agree with Dawson's face during the lecture. Not with the part he says out loud. He shouldn't do that. We'll assume we're about to get to it. But yeah.
I agree. And I found a Tumblr post about this painting that just confirms that this is not by a real artist. And the speculation is that they just found it like at a flea market or something. So when you see it in the visual aids, you can be like, okay, yeah, this is a flea market find for sure. Even though when we later go to the full Jarvis show, there's a bunch of other pieces that are in the same style. So I don't know if they just had a prop person copy them or what. Anyway, as they leave, Dawson confirms his Philistinism. Clip seven.
Lecture was great, wasn't it?
It was certainly prolonged.
You hated it.
Oh, not at all. I mean, I just don't think abstract expressionism is really my thing.
Your thing?
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems so unresolved.
Unresolved?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a blob of paint that offers up more questions than answers.
A blob of paint, Dawson?
Well, like winter mist, for example. You know, what's the ultimate emotion expressed in that painting?
Dawson, newsflash. Just because a painting doesn't have a beginning, a middle, and an end, like some assembly line summer release popcorn movie, does not mean that it's not charged with emotion. Okay?
I guess I like my art with a verdict. You know, something specific, coherent, and to the point. Like romanticism. I could totally get into romanticism, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I know what you mean.
Romantic art does not mean horny art. Please, like, open one book. Just please. But that's when Laura joins them, and Dawson shows off his good manners because he is phony as hell telling Laura her lecture was great. She invites them to audit the art class she's teaching tomorrow. Dawson conveniently has to work. Joey shrugs that she maxed out her skills in the third grade, but Laura says it's a beginner's class. Joey just has to be willing, and I guess she is. Because when we see her next, Laura's class is wrapping up and Laura's accusing Joey of hiding secret talent from her. Joey's reflexively self-deprecating and Laura calls her on it. Joey says she drew when she was a kid because her mother was an artist and Joey wanted to be like her. Laura asks why her mother stopped and Joey awkwardly says she died, and Laura's a little extra with her condolences and asking when it happened. And they go on, clip 8.
She was an artist?
Sort of. I mean, she taught herself. She wasn't a professional like you. She just kind of did it for fun. I remember she used to draw pictures from my favorite stories and hang them in my room.
So art must be in your genes.
I don't know, I guess.
Well, if you enjoy this, Joey, I think that you should really pursue it. I could recommend some great classes. Okay, why the look?
Are you serious?
I'm very serious. And you know what? You should take yourself a little more seriously. I mean, I may not be a great artist, but I like to think I have an eye. And my eye says you're good.
Why, when you say that, do I suddenly feel overcome with anxiety?
Because with talent comes responsibility. And you owe it to yourself not to let this talent go to waste.
I was a little annoyed at first by Joey's lack of confidence about this, because we know she's a very high achieving student. Like, I sort of thought that would go with this class too, that she would want to do well and be very happy to take compliments. But I guess I buy she would be focused on grades more so than this, because grades are a number she can understand and that she would think of them as part of her path out of Capeside, and like art is squishier and more feelings based. So it's harder for her to like wrap her head around, perhaps.
And she's so deeply insecure. Like, we know that she's smart and pretty and all those things, but I mean, like, she's with Dawson. Like, come on. It's actually like one of the things I actually find realistic, and that doesn't come up a lot on this show, that she would be like deeply, deeply insecure and shy and all those things.
Speaking of feelings, when we see Joey next, she is at a park or the ruins or something, sketching again when Dawson comes by. She closes her sketchbook when he arrives, and he somehow still hasn't learned how to respect her boundaries with this shit after the journal. And since he doesn't drop it, she tells him she was working on the bowl of fruit that she drew in class. And clip 9.
Class. A bowl of fruit? Yeah. Really getting into this whole art thing. Well, let's see it.
No.
Oh, come on.
I don't think so.
Why not? I'd like this new art interest. You know, Joey Potter. Artist extraordinaire. Empress of all impression of a master of still life. I hereby declare myself full-fledged, madly enthusiastic fan of your new hobby.
Dawson, why is it that your obsession with movies is your life passion while my interest in art is a hobby?
Die! I knew as soon as I said hobby that it was the wrong word, but by the time I'd said it was already, it was gone. And there was,
you know,
there was
what? I really have to finish up, so I'll see you later.
So you're just gonna leave it like this?
Like what? Unresolved?
Yeah.
Why don't you just consider me a non-specific, incoherent, expressionistic painting? Have a great day, Dawson.
Joey.
Yeah, this is so condescending and gross, and she gives him some absolutely spectacular what-the-fuck faces that you can see in the visual aids.
Like, before he even says anything.
Yes.
Like, the moment he arrives, she's like, oh, God, it's fantastic.
This is just what I fucking need, my boyfriend. So the next morning, Dawson complains to Mitch, clip 10.
This art obsession is making Joey a little crazy. I can't do or say anything right. I made the mistake of teasing her about this art lecture. She went civil on me.
Well, in my experience, Dawson, erratic behavior of the female orientation usually means that the root of the problem is something unexpected. It's probably not about art. We'll find out what it is.
Women be shopping. so, they're both so gross.
Yeah, here's who I'm not asking for relationship advice right now. Fucking Mitch. Like, to quote Chandler Bing to Ross, marriage advice? Really? Talk about the stupid leading the dumb. This is only going to end in pain, but not yet. Over to the ice house, which is dead enough that Joey dares to ask Bessie for the afternoon off to go to an art exhibit. And it is, in fact, so dead that Bessie suggests bringing Jack with her, but Joey jokes or not that she's worried about the damage he could do to all the priceless art at the show. Not sure how priceless it is. Bessie insists because Jack just sits around looking dopey. So Joey asks him and he accepts, and she enters the exhibition apologizing to him and promising they don't have to stay long because this must be so boring. But Jarvis is Jack's favorite abstract expressionist. And Joey can't believe he has one and is stunned as Jack starts sharing everything he knows about Jarvis, like that he was, as we no longer put it, manic depressive. So half his paintings are vibrant and colorful and the other half are suggestive. And they arrive at Winter Mist, the painting that Laura was lecturing about, and Jack tells her he finds it really intense. Joey squints at him hard enough for him to call her on it, but she just didn't know he was such a connoisseur. Did she think his only talent was waiting tables? He asks. No, because then he would be completely talentless. And they flirt about this until she makes a face at him that's almost impossible to describe. You can see it in the visual aids. I gift it. And it must have been an early gift because I remember it more than anything else in this episode. She like just sort of widens her eyes and then closes her mouth to waiting for him to say something back. It's hard to describe, but it's around here. The tone shifts. Clip 11.
All right, maybe every once in a while I'll mess up an order.
Jack, every once in a while you're walking sight gag.
Sight gag?
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's one way of looking at me. But just like if some shallow person stumbled across all these paintings and labeled them like, I don't know, messy or meaningless. You know, but if you stare at the images long enough, you can see they're filled with great power. And passion, intelligence.
I'm sorry, Jack.
For what?
For jumping to the wrong conclusions. I mean, there's obviously a lot more to you than Pratt Falls.
Joey, you ain't seen nothing yet.
I like these two and I like them together, but I fully just stopped taking notes during this scene. I was so bored.
Yeah, I don't really, I mean, I like her with him more than with Dawson because at least it's different,
right.
But I, you know, I don't necessarily think they make the most sense. I agree. This is boring except for the part where he's like talking shit about Dawson without knowing it, which I enjoyed.
Yeah.
And then it's a different mega day because even though it was getting to be sunset at the ice house when Joey and Jack left, it is bright mid-afternoon as they come out of the museum, Joey shyly volunteering that she's been doing some drawing herself. Jack would love to see it if she doesn't mind showing him, and she mealy-mouths that it's just a bowl of fruit, so Jack says she shouldn't waste her time drawing things she's not passionate about, which, I don't know, man, it was day one of an art class. She should probably be learning some technique before she tries freeballing it. But anyway, clip 12.
You know, draw what you love.
What I love?
Yeah, I mean, that's what artists do. They go to a place inside themselves and find what inspires them. You know, draw what's important to you.
I'll see. What are you doing here?
I've been looking all over for you. I went to the ice house and Bessie said you were here. Joey, I'm going to take off.
No, we can all walk back
no,
together.
No, it's cool. You know, I've got some errands to run. But listen, I had a blast.
Me too. Thank you for coming.
Sure.
I just want to note, in case you didn't hear or thought you missed it, that there was, you know, a greeting between Jack and Dawson that you didn't register. No, they just both look fully in each other's faces and do not even say hi. Like, I'd forgotten the part where they were totally disdainful of each other, even before anything has happened. Spoiler.
Yeah. Also, not for nothing. You mentioned how bright it is in terms of the day timeline, but I just noticed how clearly summer it is. Like, it's bright. Like, it looks hot.
Yeah.
Like, they're on location, and it is August.
Yes.
So, good job with the location.
Mm-hmm.
They actually put some effort into making it say Cape Side on things.
They did. So, when Jack has drifted off, clip 13.
So, want to check out the exhibit?
I already did, Dawson.
Please. Do you want to show me the paintings that you like?
Dawson, it's okay. I know this isn't your thing. You earned your points just by coming.
No,
it's
no,
enough.
Joy, I want to be here. I want to be with you. Joe, talk to me. What's wrong? I know I hurt your feelings by being too flip about this art thing, okay? And I'm sorry. It was never my intention. Believe me. Yeah, I'm just trying to be us. Austin and Joey, who analyze and argue and debate and disagree. I mean, you put me in my place 1,000 times about some movie. Why can't we just, you know, interchange subjects? It might actually be a refreshing change.
It is so much more than that, Dawson.
Why are you closing yourself off to me? What's changed?
That's the point, Dawson. Nothing's changed. I mean, you, me, we're exactly the way we've always been, and I am so tired of it.
Us too.
Yes, it's in my notes. I mean, same. So she takes off in one direction and he arm flaps away in the other. And the next day, Joey goes to the park to draw again and finds Dawson waiting there, cry voicing that he's scared to say anything to her for fear that they'll just end up fighting again. And she's been thinking about how to make him understand why she's been pushing him away lately, but realized she doesn't even know clip 14.
All I know is that you are very important to me. And this art thing, whether it be a hobby or my life's passion, is important to me too. It is the first thing, other than you, that's been important to me in a long time.
Joy, that's great. I'm glad you have that. I really am. I just don't want to lose what's great about us.
Dawson, you've been everything to me. And I have been your sidekick, your confidant, your other half for so long. And that's how our relationship works. And it's a nice place for you, but for me, it's scary. Because I realize that aside from you, I don't have anything. My entire life is attached to you, Dawson. I was working on these sketches. And somebody told me to draw what's important to me. What inspires me. What I love. And this is the only thing I could think of.
So, it's a sketch of Dawson. Obviously, it is in the visual aids. And whoever drew it is clearly talented, maybe is a teenager or someone who's like a beginner artist. But they gave him this crazy bug eye. Like, he looks like, while she was drawing him, he had just heard someone say, Buckaroo Banzai is better than Raiders of the Lost Ark. Like, his expression is insane.
I was really hoping it would be a bowl of fruit. Just cause. She keeps saying, I guess they're both saying that she's pushing him away, but I don't know, she seems fine. Like, he's being a real dick, and I realize I'm biased about this relationship, but like,
yeah,
she seems fine. If anything, she just seems to be reacting to him being a dick.
Yes.
And I don't, even though I just said it's realistic for her to be insecure, I don't like that for her. Like, in the process of standing up for herself, she's like, oh, I'm being so mean to you. Like, no,
completely. And I get that part of this is like, if she had developed this interest in the pre-dating era, like, it would have been easier for them to have a conversation where he's like, I love this for you. And she's like, fuck off.
Right.
Whereas like now it's more awkward. There are different feelings involved, but you could still tell people to fuck off. And some people need to hear it more than others.
He also chases her and throws the sketchbook on the ground. I'm like, dude.
Yeah.
It's like grass. She worked hard on that picture of you, sir.
Yeah, well, and of course, he's touched because there's nothing he loves more than himself, but
right.
Clip 15.
Look, and that's not okay with me, Dawson. I care about you so much, but if I ever lost you, I would be standing here totally void of anything else in my life. I mean, I live in total fear of doing nothing, of going nowhere, and that is why I shut you out. Because if I can't have something to hold on to independently from you, then I don't have anything at all, Dawson.
First of all, I'm not going anywhere. All right, and secondly, I just want you to be happy. And whatever that means, I'll provide it or support it or be completely uninvolved with it. I mean, whatever it takes. I just want us to stop fighting.
Listen, I wasn't fighting with you. I was fighting with myself. I mean, part of me wanted to send you off running. The other part of me wanted to hold you so tight.
Well, which part of you won?
Joe? Listen, I don't mean to sound like a blob of paint, but can we just let this one thing remain unresolved for now?
I do think that they are very realistic in the way they write her, like you said, but this kind of self-knowledge, I don't think is something a teenager has, where it's like, I like you so much, it scares me. I don't think is a thought that a 16-year-old has about her boyfriend.
And like, weirdly, I thought the scene started less realistic with more of that. And by the end, I was like, oh, this is believable, but I don't want to watch it.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Like, yeah.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Speaking of things we don't want to watch, our A-plot, Tamara comes back to cause unrest, and as indicated earlier in the episode, content warning for this plot line as well for statutory rape, again, as you can probably guess. We open this one with Dawson and Mitch, the former, expositing that he never actually thought the latter was going to do more than talk about opening a restaurant. A mystery woman has told Mitch he'll never find a better deal on his location than her warehouse. And the woman in question is, in fact, Tamara. Dawson badly hides the fact that he knows things about her when she appears. And after she establishes that Dawson may call her by her first name now, she and Mitch introduce themselves, and Dawson nervously asks if she's moving back to town, but she's just there to sell some property. So I'm not sure why this teacher owns multiple pieces
my
of
exact
real estate.
Note.
Okay, good.
In a town she lived in for like 3 weeks.
Yeah, she's not from there. They established she's from New York. Like, this is not her hometown.
She had that super cute house and a warehouse?
Yeah.
What?
So Dawson immediately finds Pacey at school to tell him, but before he can, Andy's there and Pacey has to get to class, and Dawson has plans after school and for want of a nail, et cetera, et cetera. And I realize texting hasn't been invented yet, but notes have. Like, write a note and put it through the slots into Pacey's locker. That's what those slots are for. But he doesn't. And in class later, Andy drops some VHS cassette tapes on the floor, and Pacey helps her pick them up. Clip 16.
I didn't know you were a closet movie freak.
Just kind of thought you were a freak in general. Ghosts, The Way We Were, Pardon Me While I Gag. Oh my God, Dumbo.
Okay, first of all, homophobic. And second of all, like, when did Pacey become this weird film bro? This is Dawson shit, and I don't like it.
I mean, I assume it was just because they were romances that he was like, they're beneath him.
Mm. Right. It just actually doesn't seem in character for Pacey. And again, I say homophobic.
Yeah.
You leave Barbara Streisand's name out of your mouth, sir.
I guess here's where I admit that of those three movies, I have only seen Dumbo. I'm sorry. I'm a Philistine, too.
I'm just actually shocked you've never seen Ghost.
I have it. It was on one of the movie channels and I recorded it. So it's been on the DVR since like two summers ago. I just have never gotten around to watching it yet. I only watched Basic Instinct like last month for the first time, and I was certainly going to movies when it came out. And I recently, because our friend Joe Reed was talking about Gina Gershon on his podcast, This Had Oscar Buzz, which I assume everyone listening to this already listens to, I texted him to be like, can I tell you something crazy? I've never seen Showgirls, and I really have. See?
Speaking of homophobic, wow.
I know. I should correct that.
I've actually never seen The Way We Were, but I was mad on principle anyway. Just
fair enough. I was like, have I seen it? And then I realized I was mixing it up with Love Story, which I have seen. Anyway, Andy assumes Pacey's going to mock her for liking baby stuff, but it's one of his favorites. He cried when he saw it as a kid. And Andy says just when she'd written him off, he drops a bomb like this on her. So seeing an opening, Pacey suggests that they hang out. She thinks he is setting her up for a joke, but he really just has no plans and would rather spend the afternoon trading barbs with her. than doing anything else. And while she's turned away from him, we see her privately excited face, which is very cute. She accepts the invitation, trying not to let him know how excited she actually is. And when we see them next, Andy's just told him about her latest car accident when Pacey stops in his tracks. And we, of course, know why. Dawson never did leave him that note. So Pacey has been totally unprepared to see Tamara walking toward him in town. She has to prompt him to introduce Andy, but he is too stunned to do it. And Tamara has to take over the pleasantries and smoothly says Pacey's a former student. Pacey snaps out of it, kind of. Calypso 17.
I was her teacher and she... No, I was her student and she was my teacher.
Well, I'm late for an appointment. It's really nice to see you, Pacey.
Yeah, likewise.
And nice to meet you, Andy. You take care.
Hey, see, what's the matter? You look like you've seen a ghost.
No, it's I haven't seen her in a while, and she was my teacher. You know?
Your teacher? Did she flunk you or something?
No.
No, did not flunk him. Not that. Different word that sounds similar. So Pacey then starts babbling that he has to take a rain check and runs away after Tamara. And he's fast enough to see where she goes. And his watching her open the warehouse door takes us into the commercial. And the next day, Dawson's in the middle of doing his laundry when Andy stops by to pretend she has questions about their English assignment, but actually to solicit intel about Pacey possibly liking her, although it takes a while for her to come out with it. This, I thought, was the most realistic scene of the episode.
100%. I loved this scene, actually, which is weird to say.
Yep. Dawson says he can't recall Pacey saying that he liked Andy, and when she immediately tries to flee, Dawson says that doesn't mean he doesn't. He might have said something, and I just didn't hear because I'm so self-involved, Dawson doesn't add. He does get Andy to admit she might like Pacey, but when he suggests that she tell Pacey that, Andy babbles that she could never, he's a pig, etc., and also Dawson has to swear he won't say anything. Dawson cracks up that this is second grade shit, which, like, I think people are normally in college when they get past this phase.
Yeah, I mean, it's as you say, it's high school shit. Like, it's actually very charming.
Completely. But Dawson agrees to keep her secret, adding that Pacey's obnoxious pig behavior could be his attempt at flirtation. And Andy is mollified and starts to leave before realizing the garment that she's been worrying in her hands this whole time is a pair of his gigantic boxer shorts, and then she gives it back.
Now we know why his jeans are so big. To accommodate this sale of a pair of boxers. I know it's for a bit, but like, even in the 90s, I don't think any of us were wearing those still.
Elsewhere, Pacey's looking into Tamara's house, also for sale, when he sees her standing nearby looking out at the ocean and stands next to her. He was debating whether to come see her, but their hi yesterday was kind of awkward. He babbles on, but she stops him to say, it was supposed to feel awkward, and so is this, and so would a hypothetical third meeting after that. Clip 18.
Ah, good. Well, at least there's a science to this thing.
Yes, it's what we ex-English teachers call a classic Pinter moment, where everything is said in silence. Because the emotion behind what we really want to say is just too overwhelming.
And that's what we're having. A Pinter moment.
Yes.
That's okay with you.
Well, silence is an acquired taste. And the more complicated life becomes, the better it is to learn to say nothing.
Okay. Okay, then maybe we could have just a couple more seconds of silence?
Sure.
Who is this Pinter guy?
Stay in school, Pacey.
Yes, Miss Jacobs.
Ew, but they almost sell it.
Almost.
He's so good.
Except, I mean, this is not about them selling it, I guess, but the homework that Andy was asking about is Gulliver's Travels.
Uh-huh.
which does not feel like a 10th grade book to me. And if they're reading Gulliver's Travels, they are sure as shit not reading Pinter.
Did you have more you wanted to say about that as a theater professional?
I actually looked it up because I don't really know shit about Pinter either. I just don't think it's a thing that anybody would say. But yes, mm-hmm. his plays are known for their long pauses,
right,
and colloquial language. It feels out of character for her. And also just a weird thing to say to anyone, especially mm-hmm. your 16-year-old statutory rape ex. Just does not seem like a conversation anybody would have in real life. But also they are standing on the beach because it is clearly summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's in a sleeveless dress. Like, there's
look great. They're both adorable, but like, no.
Yeah, no. So the next day, Pacey comes by Dawson's, clip 19.
Listen, Dawson, that little secret you had yesterday, tomorrow, you really should have told me.
2 days ago! Mega day! It was 2 days ago! But instead of pulling out a calendar, Dawson says he tried. He didn't try that hard. He tried for 1 second. But now they have a situation because Pacey has realized he's not over Tamara. This knocks Dawson physically backwards. He wants to be a good friend for a change, but all he can think of to say is stay away. He adds that Pacey still has not recovered from the gossip of their last interlude, which, as Sarah and I keep saying, we've seen zero evidence of anyone talking about it who isn't on the show. But he adds that there are girls Pacey's age who like Pacey, and he should go for one of them. And then, even though he promised he wouldn't, Dawson tells Pacey about Andy coming by, because that's how these things work in second grade or 10th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And Pacey cracks up, saying Andy hates him, as though he didn't just go out with her on the mega day entirely of her own volition. Dawson says that when a girl hates you like Andy hates Pacey, it means she likes you. So Pacey admits the real issue for him is Andy's a girl and Tamara's a woman. And Dawson's like, right, and you should be with a girl.
Also, I know it's how these things work, but it's very funny to me that this is about Andy and Meredith Monroe was 29. She was fully the Gabrielle Carteris of this cast.
It's true. I think she's better at the physicality of making her look young and gawky.
For sure, yeah. And then
Carteris was.
They don't dress her like they dressed Andrea, but I just, mm-hmm. was a thing I picked up on.
Oh, yeah.
Also, Pacey is like, who has a crush on me? You literally don't know anybody else.
Yeah, right.
Again, I know it's TV, but like they have introduced two new characters to the show. Mm-hmm. It's them and the originals. That's it.
Yeah. And again, you went out with her yesterday. It was yesterday. It was a long day, but it was still yesterday. So then Tamara's showing Mitch the warehouse space and admitting she's eager to sell. Mitch guesses she's trying to escape financial difficulties, but she thinks they both know her difficulties weren't financial. And he's like, well, since you brought it up, he heard it was a student. And she says it was something like that before changing the subject to upgrades the place needs, and then changes the subject again to Mitch's own scandals. And he exposits about Gail's affair for the new viewers, but he doesn't want to talk about it. And that's fine with Tamara. And it's also fine with me because no one cares. It's boring.
Yep. I do care about this warehouse that she owns for mm-hmm. some reason, which has like barrels in it. Like whoever left it left stuff behind that I don't know. I'm just assuming needs proper disposal.
Uh-huh.
And she's cleaning like badly
mm-hmm.
alone. Her mm-hmm. hair is not covered. Her hair is very pretty. Like I wanted to give her a bandana. Everything about this scene just makes no sense. They could have had her own so many things
mm-hmm.
that still wouldn't make sense, but would make more sense than this.
Yeah. The idea, I guess, is to bring back up Mitch's restaurant idea, because we haven't heard about that in season two at all prior to now, and to give him something to do when he's being not married to Gail, I guess. But like, no one cares about that either.
Right.
So Pacey's apparently decided to ignore Dawson's advice, because when we see him next, he's at the warehouse while Tamara kind of organizes it, as you said, not well. Pacey looked up Pinter. I refuse to believe he did that. He did not go to a library and look up who Pinter is. But
right. It's 98, so there's a little bit of internet. Mm-hmm. He could have AltaVista'd it, I guess, but like there's, yeah.
So he now knows his first name and that he's the king of subtext. You say one thing and mean another, which is more irony than subtext, but it's okay. That literary term is kind of obscure. You wouldn't have heard that yet in high school. Pacey asks if they can have a moment without all the subtext, but she says words have always gotten them to so much trouble, which, like, not really the issue. Pacey doesn't think that will happen this time, though. Clip 20.
I bet you thought that I came over to your house the other day to pour out my wounded heart to you, to confess that just how much I miss you, and tell you that seeing you the other day brought back all the old feelings. Really? I'm fine. You know, I keep thinking that I shouldn't be over this, but I am. You know, sexually, we were pretty good together. But in all other respects, we were on two different planets. And that's what I came to tell you the other day. I'm fine. I've grown up.
You have. I see that.
So, I guess this is it. The last big goodbye.
Goodbye, Casey.
So, I'm so stupid. I thought this was going to be the episode where the writers like undid the harm of the first season, but no, they kiss. They're like going to not kiss and then they kiss. And only because Joshua Jackson was 20 at the time, I looked it up to confirm. Will I say these two actors are good at kissing each other? I'm sorry. They just are. Sorry.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
In fact, they kiss all the way through the commercial break, and then Pacey says they could both probably benefit from a silent moment right now. That pincher was really on to something. As Tamara catches her breath, she says she has a buyer coming in an hour and really needs to clean up, and no, that's not subtext again, or irony. Pacey knows that it has to be over between them, but he has to know if Tamara misses a teaching, and she does very much. He misses her teaching very much, too, and she touches him on the arm, and he wanders out into town, where he's happy to see Andy at the brand new cafe set. And when he sits down and helps himself to a bite of her burger, clip 21.
Dawson told you, didn't he? Don't play dumb. When dumb people play dumb, it's very disconcerting. Dawson told you what I told him, and that's why you're acting so weird. Just admit it.
I really have no idea what you're talking about.
Yes, it's true. I had a brief flash of maybe feeling like I didn't possibly hate you. But it will pass, so there's no need to get a big head or anything.
So you think it'll pass?
It may pass. It most likely will pass. Unless... No, it will definitely pass. In fact, I think it just did. Yep, there it went. It's gone.
You like me. You really like me.
Pacey, please stop torturing me.
I want to. I can't. It's just something about you, McPhee. You bring out the sadist in me.
Don't you know that woman?
I did. Not anymore.
Oh, closure. I mean, she's in the next episode, but that's it for the two of them. So... that's how we end things, with Pacey finally being well-ish, not having had any therapy about his whole situation. And again, I recommend that everyone watch May December. It's on Netflix. Let's close things up formally by naming our episode MVP. Adam.
This is a tough call, but I'm just going to give it to Andy for being normal.
I'm going to give it to the production designer who found winter mist and made it so important to this episode, because never has a fictional piece of art been so significant. Least valuable player. Tough call with two stat rapists in this episode. I guess I'll say Tamara, because she could have just gotten someone to do this for her. She never had to come back. Probably.
Yeah, Vincent hasn't really done anything yet, spoiler, so I'm going to go with Tamara as well.
All right. Next time, it's a full moon, and apparently that's the Cape Side version of the Santa Anas in terms of a natural phenomenon that makes everybody crazy. Pacey finds out Andy's been keeping a big secret. Vincent the fisherman is still around somehow. A lobster crisis at the ice house has unexpected effects, and Gail and Mitch realize they've been talking a little too much about Thursdays in front of their dumb wiener kid. You don't need to wait for Thursdays to access all the resources at our website. That's where you'll find info on subscribing to that full archive podcast RSS, links to all our social media accounts, purchase info for a very special 90210 book, which we wrote, information on joining our Patreon, links to our visual aids, link to our merch store, and more. Again, with this podcast.com is where you will find it all. We also want to remind you, our next call-in episode could happen anytime, so put our number into your phone to drop us your thoughts as they come to you. 210-767-2237. Adam, tell our listeners where they can find more of you.
I am Adam807 on all the socials, pretty much, and I have a podcast about The Muppet Show. It's Muppeturgy, and you can find that wherever you get podcasts and at Muppeturgy.com.
We will link those in the show notes as well. I'm Tara Ariano. You can find me everywhere on social media at Tara Ariano, T-A-R-A-A-R-I-A-N-O. Our producer is David T. Cole, who spent this taping drawing what he loves. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next time with Again With This.
Ooh. What?
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.